Shada, the footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Got a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
Time for another midweek edition of the Triple M footy news update with Tom Brown. I've got Tommy here in the studio. My name's Rudy. We're going to talk all manner of news today. There's plenty of it around. We're going to chat about a couple of Richmond players having a little late night fracas and the fallout from that. Willie Rioli's in the news. It's Trade Wednesday, so we'll have the latest on a few contracts there. And there's an AFL commission meeting. Tommy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rudy. Lots to discuss this morning. Let's start with Richmond.
Well, but before we do, now the hot topic on Twitter last night was... Yeah.
I'm going to go off Twitter, by the way.
Yeah, you had a throw there down there at Tigerland last night, and looked a little windy there, Tommy. What was happening with your hair?
It was a wind tunnel at Tigerland at Punt Road, and the hair just went up a little bit, and I didn't have any of Tara's high lacquer sort of heavy hole stuff in the car. So it's just gone around everywhere. I tried blaming our head cameraman, who's one of the best cameramen in the history of Seven. So it's no good blaming him. He gave me looks of daggers back. Said, mate, this is not on me. This is on you.
100% so, Tom Brown, that
it's
one.
It's just gone real sort of Twitter action. I'm hoping to be back in the confines of the studio tonight with the complimentary lighting and the no wind.
We'll get the image up on our Insta. And for those watching,
as you come into winter, with the change of season now with the wind, it's hard for reporters. Right.
As I said, we'll get the photo up on Insta, and for those watching on YouTube, you'll have seen the image on your screen by now. So, yeah, enjoy that. I know Tommy's not too keen for me to show up, but bad luck, mate. But, yeah, let's start at Richmond. And Shai Bolton and Dan Rioli are in the news. Obviously, they were in a late-night fracas on the weekend. The wash-up of it is that Bolton has a broken wrist. Dan Rioli
had surgery on a broken wrist on Monday night in Q and will miss 3 to 4 weeks at this stage. Rioli has a heavily bruised face, and those pictures were on the news last night. And I must say, the bruising, I think, was a bit worse than certainly what I thought it would be. But anyway, that was the result of the fight.
Yes, indeed. Now, Richmond are not going to sanction the pair because it was a sort of an instance where they weren't the aggressors, really,
in
the fight.
No curfew at Richmond. Yep. The players they accept will go out. They're 22-year-olds. That's going to happen from time to time. As Brendan Gale said yesterday, they don't expect them to be on the couch. There was an aggressor towards, I think, Rioli's girlfriend, Paris Lawrence, and accordingly there was a scuffle. Now, Damien Hardwick was very supportive on Monday night on Fox. Brendan Gale a bit more measured yesterday, saying, look, we acknowledge the players haven't done anything wrong. Having said that, they've put themselves in an unfortunate position where this did happen. We'd prefer there not be violence. We know the risks of, for example, one-punch fights. They can kill people. Everyone knows that. So Richmond would prefer the players not be in that position. Brendan Gale, very supportive yesterday. So Richmond won't officially sanction them, and they've been pretty supportive. Having said that, you know, is it ideal for players to go to a Lonsdale Street nightclub at that hour? Well, they're entitled to. They're young people. But you do put yourself at risk of that type of thing happening. It'd be better if the bouncer get them in their own area. I think they're in a booth. But obviously someone's got near them and caused some trouble. And there will be people out looking to cause trouble with footy players. So maybe the AFL should have 6 or 7 nightclubs where the players tend to go to and they have like some additional security.
You're suggesting the AFL buys nightclubs?
No, just like basically go into a deal with 6 or 7 ones. You can name them the Emerson, places like that where you can get the security in there and maybe even get the players in their own area.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the solution. I like your thing. I like your enterprise, but I'm not sure that's the solution personally.
In terms of Bolton's contract.
Yes, that's what I was going to bring up. He's been probably their best player this season, quite possibly leading their best and fairest at this point, I'd have thought.
Yep.
Took mark of the year probably on Friday night. He's been amazing. Famously out of contract.
It won't affect his contract value. Bolton's one of the best young talents in the league, worth around up to $800,000 a season or more. Brendan Gale made it clear yesterday that it won't affect contract talks with Richmond. They're still very enthusiastic and very keen. Gale very supportive of Bolton. Bolton's very happy at Richmond. You'd have to say on the balance of probabilities he'll stay there. Having said that, I've checked with his management overnight and again this morning. They're still saying that contract talks for Bolton won't start until the end of the season. There's a report in the Herald Sun this morning that I'm certainly not refuting, saying that the Western Australian clubs are aware that that Bolton probably wants to stay at Richmond. Be that as it may, it's been told to me again this morning that all clubs know that Bolton's timing is the end of the year. And of course, there's interest from other clubs, including the Western Australian clubs. So, look, I think he'll stay at Richmond. But if Fremantle, for example, to offer Bolton like $1 million or some crazy amount of money, things could change. So just sort of still watch this space, in my opinion.
Mm. Let's move on to Willy Rioli. Now, he is facing Darwin court today, charged with possession of a substance.
Yeah, possession of allegedly cannabis. Willy Rioli facing a Darwin court today. Craig Vozzo, widely regarded as one of the best football managers in the league and a potential CEO of the club, his West Coast football manager, addressed this issue yesterday, acknowledged it's been difficult because I think that it's fair to say that Rioli has a cannabis issue. He acknowledged that in as many words. And West Coast can't supervise that at the moment because Willy has been up in Darwin and obviously separated from the club. I think the West Coast board is meeting as soon as today, considering their position in regards to this. I don't know what that position will be. I know Trevor Nisbet, the West Coast CEO, has a very strict no drugs policy at the club. Obviously, that's reflective of their recent history and a really strict and strong stance on that. So you'd have to think that Rioli's career again is at the crossroads and could end. Having said that, that'll play out through the courts and through the AFL and West Coast process. Of course, you feel in a way sorry for him. He's a brilliant talent, but it's just a difficult situation.
Yeah, very difficult situation to manage, and my heart goes out to Willy Rioli. Trade Wednesday, Tommy.
I'm looking forward to this. Yeah. We've invented this segment.
We've invented this segment on the fly today. We've gone, we should do a trade thing on Wednesdays. Let's call it Trade Wednesday.
Okay.
So you want to let's start with Jack Billings.
Yeah, Jack Billings. Interesting situation. Check with St Kilda sources in recent days. No discussions on his contract at the moment. I've corroborated and cross-referenced that with his manager this morning, Paul Connors. Now, they don't know when they'll start, but it is an interesting situation. He does like to run his contract talks late, and he has been well paid in recent years. So perhaps St Kilda want to just peg a little bit of that back just so they can even it out. So I'm sure those discussions will happen at the appropriate point in time. But there'd be a lot of interest in Jack Billings from other clubs if there's no discussions, as are reported, going on just at this moment.
Yeah.
At this present time, Rudy.
Yeah,
I'll get it out.
He's a good player, Jack Billings. I like him a lot. Probably the biggest fish in the pond at this stage, Tommy, is Patrick Cripps. Have you got an update on him?
Yeah, interesting situation on Patrick Cripps. Now, the latest here, as I've spoken to Carlton sources again overnight, they say that the talks are progressing well with Cripps, but there's no real update. Of course, Carlton a couple of weeks ago said they were confident that signature was imminent. I've also spoken to his manager, sort of off record, but I can obviously quote aspects of the discussion, broadly speaking, in recent days, Matt Bain, and he isn't prepared to speak on Cripps' contract. I do understand that I think, you know, it's getting closer with Carlton. If he re-signs, which is most likely with Carlton, it'll be a long-term deal. A separate person told me it's certainly not about money with Cripper. I think he's made quite a bit of money personally, so it's not like he's comparing offers and it's not solely guided by money. And I'm also again told in recent days that West Coast are circling. West Coast's obvious problem is salary space. They haven't got a lot. I reported that separately they might look at trading Yeo if that was an option to another club. I'm not linking that to Carlton. Yeo's on a lot of money and obviously had this OP issue. He's enormously popular at West Coast and they bristled at those suggestions, which is fair enough. They're entitled to do that. I had a source pointing out that they'd perhaps look at that. But West Coast are circling Cripps. I still expect he'll sign with Carlton. Having said all that, it hasn't happened yet and it's not about to the next couple of weeks and it's still not quite there. So it's still a case of watch this space. Mm. One issue would be his value. You know, he has some degree of inconsistent form. But as I think it was, I was listening to some talk back yesterday, I think it was on SEN, like as soon as you get rid of a big-bodied midfielder, guess what Carlton will need? A big-bodied midfielder.
Yeah,
I know
right.
Midfielders are apparently easy to find, but they're not that easy to find, and they're not easy to find like Patrick Cripps. He's their captain.
He's a high-value player, it's fair to say, Cripps. So I just want to circle back. Elliot Yeo is suffering from OP issues, is he?
Yeah, Yeo has definitely got OP issues. It's kept him out since August last year. They're hoping that he's progressing to running in coming weeks. But he hasn't played so far this season.
Yep. So it'll be a post-buy return for Yeo.
Yep.
Jake Stringer is the last one on our list here, Tommy.
Yeah, this is an interesting one this morning, Jake Stringer. It's been reported overnight by The Age that Stringer's out of contract. Now, I could do a report right now, and 110 players are out of contract, but fair enough, Stringer's out of contract. It's the fourth year of his four-year deal. I think it's been reported, broadly speaking, that you know there's some clubs just keeping an eye on this. What's Jake Stringer's worth? He's an impact player. He's a match winner. He hasn't finished in the Bombers' top 10 best and fairest, and he is prone to injury and hasn't put together a lot of games last year and this year. So it's hard to value a player like that. Some people, I'm sure his managers say, well, he's got more impact sometimes than and more consistently than Jordan Dugowie. There's an argument that that's the case. What does Dugowie get? $700,000 or $800,000 a year. Having said that, Dugowie's obviously older. Stringer's obviously older, and I think more injury prone. So you know, I'd suggest that he's worth 450 plus maybe 150 of incentives. Let him earn 600. But I've spoken to Essendon sources this morning. They're still confident this will get done in time. Having said that, I don't think they're going to get dragged into overpaying for Stringer, just given his best and fairest record and also his injury profile. I'm sure they'll exercise appropriate caution. Having said that, Tim Watson said this morning that he'd hate to see Essendon lose Stringer, and I'm sure that's echoed by all the Bombers fans. And Stringer's really stable these days. I think he's got a pretty strong character, and he's really he seems to be exemplary off the field. So I'm sure he'll get a deal at Essendon at some point.
Probably speaks to both of your points that Stringer's been one of Essendon's best players this year, most important players, and also he's out currently with a hamstring. So, you know.
And so you just got to be careful not to pay him overs, but at the same time, I'm sure he deserves a good whack and a good contract just structured the right way.
Indeed. The AFL Commission's meeting today, Tommy. What's on the agenda?
AFLW on the agenda. Obviously, Hawthorn's licence which Jeff Kennett's hoping to get at the end of next year. Also on the agenda, I'm sure, will be an update on the Tasmania discussion. Colin Carter currently preparing a paper in relation to the really important Tasmanian recommendation, where they get a team, and the Hawthorn and North deals, which are lucrative for both clubs, linked to that. I also expect at some point Peter Gordon will be appointed to one of the vacancies on the AFL Commission. Whether that happens today or not remains to be seen. And I'm sure they're talking about this soft cap, because that's the amount the football departments can spend. Travis Old was preparing a review into that. And essentially, a lot of the coaches at the moment, Chris Scott, John Longmire, I think even Patrick Dangerfield commented on this morning, the coaches want more money in their football departments to get the assistant coaches, for example, more money. And the AFL's position, I think, is, well, hang on, let's just wait another little bit of time. It will go up eventually, but, we still have, obviously, COVID uncertainty and those types of things. It's an interesting discussion. I know the senior guys like John Longmire deserve their money. The market demanded it. North made him a supremely magnificent, like $1.5 million sort of offer. And I don't think he re-signed at Sydney on money. He wanted to stay at the Swans. But some of these senior coaches are well paid. So whether there's any sort of sympathy, in inverted commas, for their argument that they're overworked, I'm sure they're overworked. They deserve all the money they get. It's a high-profile, high-stress, high-risk job. I get it. But, it's an interesting discussion as to whether the clubs can afford to pay the assistants more money, where that money goes. Carlton pay, a huge amount of money for their fitness boss, for example. Again, the market dictates it. But you let these clubs spend money, Rudy, and they find ways of spending it, I guarantee it.
Indeed, I can relate to that.
Sounds like a household budget.
Yeah, indeed. Let's move to Hawthorn, shall we? You had an update on that?
This is intriguing. So I spoke to the Hawks footy manager, the new footy manager, on Monday, had a really good discussion with them on and off record, and went out there and met up with them. They're not promising silverware this year. They're not planning for silverware next year. What they're trying to do is put 10, 12, 14 games into a whole bunch of youngsters, literally working out the ones that can play and the ones that can't. And they're unapologetic about it. Jeff Kennett said yesterday on SEN, he said, this is a two-year project. And I love Jeff. He's so bold with his predictions. And he was sort of asked, well, how can you be confident, Jeff? This is 2 years. He goes, well, we've won, was it 14 flags since 1964 or some astronomical figure. I can't believe it. We've got the track record. We know how to recruit. And good luck to him. I love him.
Jeff Kennett is exceptional,
but
by the way.
And I love
you've
Jeff.
Been working on that for a long time, haven't you?
I went to Jeff's man shed recently in Richmond. It was very impressive. Anyway, my point is that Jeff said we can be challenging for silverware in 2023 based on this 2 year plan, and that will allow us to contend for 10 more years. And it was it was very good.
I love
but
it.
The most interesting aspect, Rudy, I've really branched out this morning. I'm trying to
just try some new stuff. I like it.
What was most interesting about that discussion, Rudy, was he said that Clarko's contract until the end of 2022, right? Hawthorn's essentially rebuilding. They've got Sam Mitchell basically waiting in the wings ready to go. You'd have to think that Sam Mitchell would probably coach for $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 a year. Clarko's probably on close to $1 million a year. Of course, Hawthorn want Clarko to continue. He's probably the best coach, one of the best coaches in the history of AFL.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, Jeff Kennett significantly said yesterday, contract at the end of next year, but we'll sit down at the end of this year and work out that if it's in Hawthorn's best interests and Alistair's best interests. That's code for, in my opinion, Alistair is as gettable as ever for a Collingwood or a club that may be interested. And also Hawthorn might agree to it because there's a big rebuild at Clarko. Of course, he's part of laying the foundations, but they've all got to agree whether he wants to be there long term. And I found those very interesting comments from the El Presidente yesterday.
Yes, I like it. I like it.
Collingwood would have to be thinking about that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there'd surely be 17 clubs that would love Clarko.
If you're the Collingwood
coach,
president or the potential Collingwood president, whatever's going on down there, you'd have to think at some point you'd go and want to have a coffee with his manager, James Henderson, who manages Ricky Ponting, incidentally. And
High quality stable,
Ponting and Clarko. And you'd have to think you'd have to go and sound out at least what's going on.
Mm, indeed. Now, before we go, some injury news, Tommy.
Injury news this morning. Still a bit concerned about Viney's foot. Melbourne have said again this week it should be a couple of weeks. Having said that, it's still uncertain and I think a little bit worse than what Melbourne initially led on. So always a concern with his toe, given Viney's foot history. Rockliffe, bad luck this week, went and had a scan on his calf and discovered it was like DVT. So he's going to miss some football as well.
As well as injuries to both knees.
Exactly. That's seriously bad luck in terms of the injury front. At Essendon, Jai Caldwell had surgery yesterday on his hamstring. I think we'll miss the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's a tough one for the young fella. I know he was hoping to play a bit more footy than that.
We've ventured into new areas this morning, Rudy.
We have indeed.
Which is probably not good for a podcast.
It's been wacky. It's been wild. I hope everyone out there has enjoyed it. We'll be back to talk more footy news on Friday. Thanks for coming in, Tommy.
Thanks, Rudy.
See you next time.